Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Lyrically, I'm Mario Andretti on the Momos.
What up, everybody? It's 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Commanders went down to Atlanta with a good opportunity to get to 3-1, kind of show they are in the real contender conversation in the NFC, and it didn't go that way. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm good, brother. What's happening with you?
It's funny. We were in the kitchen, and it was me, Jeff, and B, and we just immediately start talking about yesterday's game. And then a coworker of ours from another station walks up that's not a Commanders fan and was like, oh, the disgruntled corner.
Nah, he's a fan.
Nah, he's a Bucks fan.
He told me, he told me he was a damn what's called fan.
He's a Bucks fan, right?
When they were winning last year, yeah. He sure wanted to talk a lot about
him. Todd, a Bucks fan.
Yeah.
Well, Todd sure was using me last year for the when they were winning.
Well, they didn't yesterday.
Well, yeah, he should have joined us then. This is a disgruntled call. Yeah,
that's true. Bucks didn't look very good either. Yesterday's game was really disappointing because we talked about it coming off the big Raiders win. They really played complimentary football, all three phases. And that's what I think going into yesterday, I said, you got to keep the pressure on Penix. Offensively, you got to do enough, and you need the special teams to be good. I specifically challenged Matt Gay's got to make all of his kicks. And he did.
He did.
Offensively, they were pretty good.
Matt was on, bro.
Offensively, they finished that game with about 300 total yards. They did have one turnover. Yep. When you're playing with your backup quarterback, you're able to score 27. You like to think that's a win.
Yeah, you should. We're at three touchdowns and a field goal to win. But even that interception, if he just throw that a little bit more outside.
Yeah.
We yeah,
that ball floated. Seemed to just stay in the air
I saw him going upfield. And I'm like, he got him. Because the safety was way inside. But then the ball just drifted right to the safety. And it was like, but offense played well enough to win. Totally. I understand when you lose, everybody loses. When you win, everybody wins. But the problem yesterday was the defense. And people can't make no excuses for this. C-Rod had a big run. You know, they did some great things on offense, I would say, to get themselves in position. To stay in the game, but defensively, we were lost. And for all the people who want us, who consistently talk about don't play the starters in preseason, don't do this, did you see that display of tackling yesterday? It was one of the worst I've seen in my life. One thing I know, running backs in the NFL, just bump them. They're not going down. They're going to keep going forward. You got to wrap up. And nobody wraps up today. Listen, in that game yesterday, I know there are guys on our team that likes to tackle. They didn't do it yesterday. Linebackers, safeties, corners, D linemen, none of them wrapped up.
12 missed tackles.
This is not a game of bouncing. This is a game of tackle football. Grab the dude by his leg. Grab him by his waist. Wrap your arms around him and fall to the ground. I don't give a damn how good guys are in the NFL. If you grab them with your weight and fall, they are going down. But if you just bump them, they will keep going. They are professional athletes. And this bumping people thing, it's getting on my damn nerve. They got to get that fixed.
Specific to the tackling, because there's a lot to address defensively. I think a lot of people are mad at Joe Witt. I think there's some merit to that. But a lot of this is on the players, too. Joe Witt's not trying to make a tackle and getting run over.
Yeah. What I said, Jay, This is professional football. The athletes are what? Professional athletes, right? Don't you think if I see something two or three times, I know damn well that I can't keep doing what I'm doing, so I have to make an adjustment. There is a thing in football called communication. And I didn't see very good communication because I saw them run the same route combination from start to finish in that game.
Out of that bunch.
And they were open. One of those receivers was wide ass open every time on those routes. The interception by Mikey, the dude in front of him was open, and the dude behind him, Penix threw a flat ball. Penix threw that ball with a little bit more arc. That's another reception. But Mikey made a fantastic play. They have to communicate. When you go into a game, listen, I've told you many times about Bobby Jackson. We're going to games, and he's telling me what to do all week. And I get in the game, and I start doing what he's telling me to do, and it's not working. Am I going to keep doing it? No. Anybody going to blame him? They're going to blame me. So I stopped doing what he told me to do and did what worked, scored a touchdown. He still tell me I'm not listening to him. Bobby, I'm not listening to you on Sunday, especially if that stuff didn't, I almost said the wrong word. If that stuff not working throughout the week, I'm not going to do it on Sunday. I'm going to do what works. And that's what guys got to understand. It's not disrespecting or not listening to your coach. You know different techniques and different things to do, and sometimes you have to make adjustments. That old Peyton Manning, you got to check the pancakes. Omaha, get it changed up. And we did none of that yesterday.
Specific to the tackling, you do have to credit Bijan Robinson. He's a really good player. So we're saying that to start. There's also, you were saying this and I agree with you. Over the last, maybe this is like the last 15 years, you see a lot more guys fly in to make big hits and there's less hitting and rapping. That's across football, right?
Yeah.
But there's another factor, and Frankie Louvu said something last night that I thought was really interesting. And it was kind of offhand. I don't even know if he meant it how I interpreted it. But, B, we were at training camp every day.
Mm-hmm.
They had the joint practice against the Patriots. They had the Brotherhood Bowl in that weird week off because of the scheduling.
Uh-huh.
They were supposed to have the joint against the Ravens. That got canceled. They did have like a fairly physical practice ahead of that Ravens game. I think we could count on one hand the amount of actual real physical practices.
Yeah.
Maybe you get to seven, but it's not more than seven. Maybe it's five or six.
Mm-hmm.
And that is fairly standard across the league. But Louvu said something last night. He's like, yeah, you know, it's week four. It's still early. We're all kind of getting in the flow of things.
That's what I'm talking about. That's where the disconnect is. You win week four. You should be in stride by then. You know, if we really took preseason serious.
They don't.
All over the league, if we took it serious, you might see less injuries in the regular season. Injuries happen, but you may see less because if you have people walking around doing a little stroll and they do a stroll for like 3 weeks, and then that fourth week I say run full speed, you're going to have those soft tissue injuries. You're going to have different injuries. If a guy hasn't been tackled for real till he gets into the real games, you know what's going to happen? He's not going to know how to take a hit. Like boxers, you ever heard boxers say when you got to know how to take a punch? You watch some guys when they get punched, just let their face stay there to get knocked the hell out. Other guys move with the punch. You do the same thing in football when you're getting tackled. You know, and I will still say it. I don't care. NFL, NFLPA. You learn football. You get ready for football by playing damn football. You don't go around playing flag and playing touch and then go tell people to go full speed. Because if we really want to tell the fans then. The real action don't start till week five in the football season. Then you may have to charge them a price a little less than what the hell goes down. Because preseason, they shouldn't pay full price of preseason. And now it looks like the first 4 weeks of the season, you shouldn't pay for that either. Because people are still getting into it. They get into the flow. And players are thinking that. That's despicable, dog. When week one hit, you should be already ready to rock. You have to wait till week four, week five to start learning how to play some damn football. Why? What are you going through OTAs and mini camps and training camp for if you got to wait till week five to, oh, now we're ready to go? That's crazy.
There's a lot to unpack from yesterday's loss. Schematically, the coverage yesterday was a problem. The coverage has been a problem all year. Like, something as simple as crossing routes and sending guys in motion pre-snap should not undo your defense. Hmm. And right now, it seems to be undoing this defense.
Yeah.
And I wonder, you wonder if age is catching up to some guys. They do not seem to have the same speed in these losses. The Packers were running circles around them. The Falcons yesterday were able to get guys open so routinely that you wondered what the hell was going on. And the Falcons have some good young pieces, certainly. They've got Bijan, Pitts, and London, all on rookie deals, I believe. Maybe one of those guys is in their option year. Those are legit players, right? But, like, every NFL team's going to have legit players. And the only real defensive shutdown was against the Giants with Russ Wilson on the field, who has since been benched. Mm-hmm. Even against the Raiders, offensively, not exactly a juggernaut, that kid Tucker ate their lunch. He finished with like 8 for 150 and 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, defensively, there's some stuff that is on the players, specifically tackling. That's up to you,
yeah,
right?
That's a manhood thing.
But shout out to Doc. But some of the coverage stuff be, you wonder if the players can get it done, specifically Lattimore, man. He had the deep shot to Drake London. Maybe you can argue there was like a double move in there. Or he just lost outside leverage and got burnt.
Yeah.
Lattimore has not looked good and comfortable since he arrived. Last year, you had the injury conversation. I think it was pretty clear the hammy wasn't right. This year, by all accounts, he's right. And I don't know that they trust their depth. Injuries are an issue. Certainly, you lose Jonathan Jones, who's supposed to be kind of a veteran corner for you. But, like, I don't know that you need to put Mikey outside. I don't know what the fix is. But defensively, I'm trying to be balanced, right? Because it's really important not to be completely reactionary the day mm-hmm. after a loss. Inevitably, we'll open these phone lines up. People are going to scream, fire Joe Witt, bench Lattimore, bench Bobby. There's going to be a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. I think you got to be balanced and try to look at totality through a quarter of the season.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
2 weeks out of the four seasons, 2 weeks out of the four games, we saw great play.
Good play.
Dominant play. No, man, it was better than good
from
play.
From the defense
they specifically? They were dominant. They were dominant in the defensive line situation, I'm trying to say.
I agree with that.
In two of the games. In the other two games, they were not.
The coverage issues have happened repeatedly. The D-line has shown up and been dominant.
And when the D-line shows up, the coverage is better. When the D-line don't show up, the coverage is awful. The D-line and the O-line, as much as everybody want to cheer on just the skill positions, they have to start understanding it starts there. And if those – but I don't like to see this. What I'm seeing is a roller coaster ride right now, rolling heels.
Well, and
I want to see consistent play.
Well, and to that point, B, DQ said this last night, and I was kind of blown away that he just said the quiet part out loud. He's like, yeah, we're having these slow starts on the road, and we can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
You play on the road in the NFL.
Totally.
What is the difference? Like, I was on the field. You were on the field. I said to somebody within the organization, probably a half hour till kick. Maybe it's 45 minutes till kick. And I was like, man, it feels kind of lifeless. Like it just.
Yeah, it was no.
There were times you could feel the energy.
It was flat.
It was flat.
I can tell you one thing. The fans bringing it.
Yo, the fans, there were a ton of Burgundy and Gold you fans
sworn
in Atlanta.
As many Atlanta fans in that stadium, when Washington did something.
50-50.
Yeah, when Washington did something, they were louder than the Atlanta fans.
Well, dude, if you go back, Washington scores to make it 10-7, and then Atlanta has a big third down relatively deep in their own territory, there were loud defense chants.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was pregame in that stadium. Let's say it was 50-50, because I really think it was. The vibe from Falcons fans was ready to boo their team off the field because they were pissed about last week. I mean, getting shellacked by the Panthers, getting shut out by the Panthers. There's turmoil in the coaching staff. Falcons fans don't seem particularly happy with Raheem Morris, and some of the clock management stuff, I can understand why. Falcons fans were dead. Burgundy and Gold fans were fired up.
Yeah.
There were a lot of them. There was gear everywhere. Landfill, you would have loved the amount of big hats I saw, a lot of big hat energy.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they do? They immediately gave Atlanta fans a reason to buy in. And then they started getting loud.
Yep.
And every time the Washington crowd wanted to get involved, the defense just gave up big plays.
Yep.
And right, there's so many things that I think are fixable, which is good. And then you try to zoom out and you're 2-2 through four games. I do think I'm going to operate under the assumption I believe Jaden Daniels will play in L.A. against the Chargers. So if we were in, if it was the 4th of July and you and I are drinking a beer talking, and I say, B, Mariota's going to have to start two games this year. They go 1-1. Would you be good with that? Like, your backup quarterback comes in, you want to be able to tread water. Mariota was pretty good in both. He was quite good.
But the games, if I saw the games they were going in, no, I'm not good with it because I think Mariota played well enough to win that game. I wouldn't expect the defense to play as awful as they did.
Agreed. I think what on earth allows this team and the coach to say it, we're starting slow on the road. I got bad news. Three of the next four are on the road.
Yeah.
You're going to Dallas, which last night showed the hell up. You're going to
Kansas
City. Maybe
that's him trying to send them a message where you got to go on the road and be ready to play too. Because the one thing me and Santana kept saying is they're playing flat. They seem flat. You know, I don't know the makeup of a lot of these guys. But one thing I knew about when I played football, on the road is when I really got crazy. Because I was the person who would watch, Spike Lee, harassing the hell out of players
Reggie
in
Miller.
Basketball. And I love Reggie Miller because he'll shut him the hell up. MJ will shut him the hell up. And going on the road, that's the one. You find somebody in the crowd, the most irritating person in the crowd, and you want to shut his ass up.
Hell.
That's the way I wanted to be.
I thought the American crowd at the Ryder Cup in New York was completely out of control.
Yeah.
And you know what the Europeans did?
They went right back at
them. Dunked on them.
You got to. Listen, bro. When you're in hostile environments, you have to be able to bring the same level of energy that they have. You can't go match that being all quiet all the damn time.
It's worth pointing out that Washington didn't have its best player and hasn't now for two games, right? Jaden Daniels makes a difference in every game he's in. Clearly that was missing. Marcus was good. He was really good against Raiders. I thought he was fine yesterday. Not having Jaden's a big deal. Like, we can't deny that. They are beat up. But this is also the roster you constructed. And if you look at, like, the IR, it is all these veteran players you brought in are the ones hurt. And you wonder, I mean, I think there's some real questions about roster construction at this point, but you also don't want to be reactionary. It's a 17-game season. Like, the highs and lows of a football season. I'm trying to remember who said it. One of the guys last night in the locker room, I think Tom Schaab was working on a story about, like, how do the players feel through four games of the season? Optimistic, pessimistic. And one of the players was like, man, last year we lost three games in a row. Like, things are going to happen over the course of a season. And you try to keep that mindset. And that's where the mindset I want the players to have. But when you have a veteran-laden team like this, how the hell can you start slow on the road?
I don't get it. I just look, man, the one thing I look for is consistency. If a team brings me the same consistent approach for every game, I would automatically assume that they're going to win more games than they're going to lose. But if you bring me 1-1 week and then the next week you're down why can't you be the same? Why can't you be up both of the weeks in a row? You know, it's just, it's troubling. You saw yesterday in games. I mean, I'm looking, what was it? The Chargers go up to New York. We both thought the New York didn't have a chance in hell. New York beat them. They had another quarterback come in. Match play. The defense has to realize Carolina beat them 30-0 last week. Okay? You should go into that game with that mindset. We're not going to let them get right on us. And then Carolina got beat by whoever yesterday by damn near 20-something, 30 points.
Patriots.
Yeah. So what you got to realize is, man, you got to be able to match the intensity consistently throughout a year. And guys have to be discussing that, talking that. When you're in practice, you got to go hard like that. You can't just be showing up and think it's going to just happen for you. They lost 30-0 last week, but that don't mean it's going to just happen for you if you don't come and play. What I said before the game, I said on Friday, they're all professional athletes, right? Any given day, it's the chemistry and the approach that messes up stuff. And that's what happened. We didn't have the right chemistry yesterday defensively. We didn't have the right physical approach. Atlanta came out there pissed off with something to prove, and we allowed it to happen.
Joe Theismann is going to join us at 11. We're going to open the phone lines up at 11:30. Michael Penix last week threw for 170 yards with no touchdowns and two interceptions, completed 50% of his passes against the Panthers. Yesterday against Washington, he completed 77% of his passes for 313 yards with two touchdowns against one pick. Just really, really troubling defensive performance in Atlanta. And frankly, if it was up to some fans, there'd be some people in Ashburn probably selling houses and looking to move. And if you're looking to move, there's only one person to call. His name is John Leahy.
Yep, just like a recent seller did. The recent seller was thrilled to receive an offer, which was 20 grand over the asking price for their Silver Spring property. Everything went smoothly. There was no stress, no setbacks, and the sale closed right on time. The client had previously been told by another agent that he wouldn't be able to make any profit at all, but he ended up earning exactly what he wanted. Who says there are no guarantees in life? Check out John Leahy's guaranteed offer right here on this website, and you can get that ball rolling at johnsalesdmv.com. Talk about our good friend John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. Go to johnsalesdmv.com and find out what's your home's value in mere seconds. John offers you flexible fees customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, John will let you out of your contract at any time.
Here's the thing about John. He's got buyers ready, over 10,000. He's ready to go. So if you're trying to sell your house, you need to talk to John because he can get that thing sold. Some of these houses are sitting, not if you go with John Leahy. Plus, think about this. Say you want to sell your house, but you know you need a fresh coat of paint on the outside, and maybe you need to redo your appliances, but you just don't have the cash. Talk to John. He can front you the cash, sell your house, and then you just settle up with him on the back end. You're probably going to make 2 or 3X on that little bit of investment into your house when you take it to the market. That's why I would trust John. That's why B. Mitch would trust John. John Leahy is the MVP of DMV Real Estate. Call him today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com. Or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7. It's definitely a misery Monday when your offense, your defense gives up about 450 yards and 34 points to a team that was blanked the week before. I just tweeted this out. You can follow me at JP Finley NBCS. Like, you don't want to be reactionary in your analysis of professional football because it's largely a week-to-week league. Crazy stuff happens every week, right? Like, that's just the nature of this game. But for me, at the same time, there are recurring issues defensively that I think they have some real talent on the D-line.
Mm-hmm.
When the D-line can't control a game, and they're not going to control every game.
No.
When the D-line can't control a game, they're getting gashed. They're giving up big plays. There seem to be coverage issues. And it seems to kind of trickle down. Yesterday was the biggest example, specifically with the missed tackles. I saw one of the stat companies had 12 missed tackles for Washington. There's always missed tackles in a game.
Yeah.
But 12 is abhorrent.
Some of them missed yesterday. It wasn't like you missed it because you had wrapped up and the guy just made an unbelievable break from the tackle. Yesterday, we just felt like we could just get somebody the flying elbow or the forearm and they were going to go down. And you found out that guys with balance don't go down for that crap.
They were playing some like unique fronts yesterday. There was a fourth down play in the first half where they had Kinlaw off the field. It's like you have to discuss multiple angles of this because you wonder schematically where the holes are. And I think you recognize it's a week-to-week league, but when you start to see recurring things, that's a problem, right? Like, I think there are some coverage schemes that are not to the best. They're not best suited to the personnel you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is among the worst thing coaches can do is like, no, my system can work. Like, build the system that works for the guys on the field.
Yeah. And if the system you build is not working, make a damn adjustment. The best thing in football is you can change your mind. And I told you, I played one of the best coaches ever. And what I told you, Coach Gibbs, we would practice adjustments to stuff, dog. And I don't, listen, the fact that you can't be so physical today, you can be mental, though. They should be able to, if you're doing something, you should know what the team is going to try to do to circumvent what you're doing. And you should be ready for that crap. At least give your players a little bit of the work with it and then change it. Listen, it happens, man. It is not that hard. Listen, everybody has their way of doing things. But you know what's the best way of doing things? The one that works. And if the way you have put it in is not working, when you get to the point of Friday, Saturday, if you get in the game and it ain't working, you got to adjust it. You got to be able to switch course and draw something else up.
Do you think the overall like recurring issues are more driven by scheme or personnel? Because both of those things you could change. One of the things we got really frustrated by in the Rivera era was they put the same players out there no matter what, right? And they just identified their guys and they were going to roll with them.
Yeah.
Now, the injuries might be dictating some things here.
It could be. It could be.
Like, but there's a lot of injuries.
But I'm just saying this, Jay. I don't care what your scheme is. I don't care what your personnel is. If something's not working at that moment, I have to change it. Yesterday, we didn't change scheme or personnel.
No.
We kept doing the same thing with the same people. So if you didn't change the scheme, then I can't say it's the people. If you had changed the scheme and it kept doing it, then I know it's the people. But if you had changed the people and it kept the same scheme and it worked, then I think it's the people. You get what I'm saying? But they didn't change anything. So I don't know what it was. But I can tell you this. You're absolutely right. I'm not blaming scheme or coaches for lack of tackling.
I mean, if you want to zoom out on that and be like, they don't hit enough or go hard enough in August to be ready for September, I'd argue that's a league-wide problem. But yeah, certainly, but Washington did not have a grueling August.
No. But the thing of it is, you've heard me say this a million times. This is my profession. When I was in this was my profession. The coach can tell me all we're going to do is this today. I, as the football player, know that that's not enough for me. I have to go do a little bit more, right? You watch some guys play, and you know they're doing more than what the hell everybody else is doing. I don't care if anybody think what they want. Michael Parsons, he ain't doing just a little, okay? Saquon Barkley, he's not doing just a little. You watch guys that play to a different speed, a different Max Crosby, not doing just a little. So if you know you got way more to go and way more to push after you finish practice or weightlifting or whatever with your team, then because I had coach tell me, like, we don't prepare this thing for the guys that's in the best shape. We prepare everything for the guys in the least amount of shape to try and bring everybody along. So then I knew it wasn't enough for me. So I had to go do more to make sure I could play the way I know I can play. So just because the NFL and the league, I mean, the union have put up these rules, that doesn't mean that that's all you can do. You can go push yourself to the limit. And if you're not being able to reach your potential on the field, then damn it, you owe it to yourself. You are your tool. I'm right here now. I got a mic. I got a computer in front of me doing my job. But ultimately, on the football field, your job is you. Your tool is you. And if you don't get that to the absolute best ability or level you can, then you got a damn problem. Not the coach. You got a problem.
Specific to personnel, because I just don't know what you can do. Looking at snap counts from yesterday, Wagner played 100% of snaps. Lattimore played 100% of snaps. Luvu played 100%. Quan Martin, 100%. Specific to the linebacker position, do you think Jordan McGee, Kane Medrano, younger guys maybe need to be on the field more? Jordan McGee got zero defensive snaps. Kane Medrano, zero defensive snaps. Cahill, zero defensive snaps. I think Cahill left with an injury, if I'm not mistaken.
He was in concussion protocol.
Now, those guys are playing on specials. They're playing.
Yeah.
But they're not getting defensive snaps.
That's the thing about it. They may not be able to perform to be able to get those defensive snaps. So I don't think just because they're on the field and they're younger that they automatically get a chance. If they don't know what the hell they're doing, then why? I think yesterday, if guys wrap up and make tackles, this game does not go how it went. I think yesterday was more of a problem of lack of tackling than it was anything else we could think about. Because I'm going to tell you, I know for sure, I counted like 10 of them. When guys were dead to the rights, we bump them and they kept going. It wasn't just Bijan or Algier, it was receivers and some tight ends too. We were not wrapping up. If we wrap up and we don't, the fourth down one they went for, we hit him, boom. He still was able to run a little bit more, get some more yards. We had a few plays, we hit the guy, 2 yard gain, but no, he's down the field now, 10 more yards. Tackle.
B. Mitchell Finley, Joe Theismann will join us at 11 a.m. The Fan. Brian, big picture question for you. Are you concerned defensively the Commanders?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Don't have enough speed.
No. I'm not concerned about that.
What do you think?
I think because what I see, Bijan Robinson is a special player. He came to this game leading their team in pass yardage and rushing. And that's going to be a matchup problem anytime we feed somebody like that. But most teams are not going to have that running back. I still believe if our front line handles business, everything becomes equal again. When they don't, everything going to be a problem.
Do you lean towards this is a crazy, or is that just kind of loser talk?
I don't. It's not loser talk. This is a week to week season, but we've seen first game that came out, they were dominant. The D line, O line, both. Second game, non-existent.
They got pushed around.
Third game, they seem to be dominant again. Fourth game, non-existent. Like someone asked me the other day, like, what's our team's identity? And I say, I don't know yet. Because I don't see them sticking to one. For 4 weeks, we haven't been consistent to be able to say what our identity is yet. But I know what I think it could be. In two of our wins, we rushed for over 200 yards. In two of our wins, our defensive linemen were putting pressure on their quarterbacks. So we can be a physical team in the trenches, but we have to be consistent with it because we have not been consistent with it at all. So the thing that I'm concerned about is why do we have the highs and then a low that follows it? Why can't we have the highs? And if we dip at all, dip a little, but it's more consistent. It hasn't been consistent.
That's what I'm saying. It's early in the year. You don't want to get too caught up on anything. But like when we get to these blame piles, I think there's a lot of blame to go around for yesterday.
Yeah. See, this is the thing. When we talk about teams around the league, we were talking about the 1-2 team, the best 1-2 team, whatever it was, and I said Kansas City. And I was questioned. I'd be, well, Kansas City, I don't know. I'm like, don't count them out. I know Pat and Andy, if they get their little pieces back, what they're capable of. I know if we have Jaden, what can happen. I don't know what's going to happen consistently in the trenches right now. And I normally judge things more by the trenches than I do anything else. Kansas City blocks for Pat. Their D-line is damn good. You saw what they did to the Ravens yesterday? So when I looked for this team, last year, I could have told you what an identity was. This year, I haven't seen one develop just yet.
A lot of people will scream, oh, Cliff gets away from the run. I mean, they ran for 150 yards yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, they outrushed.
They
outrushed Atlanta. And when you watch that game, you don't think that happened, right? But they did. So they ran the ball effectively.
I would have liked to see Marcus run a little bit more yesterday.
The offense, I think, played well enough to win. But you can't dig out of every hole, man. If you go score and you're getting on the rhythm and then all of a sudden they go on the long, sustained drive and get a damn touchdown at the end, that's demoralizing for an offense now to come back out there.
Joe Theismann joins the program next. We'll ask Joe T what he saw, what he's concerned about from yesterday. Then we're going to open these phone lines up. I feel like the phone lines are going to be a bloodbath, landfill. Nobody go anywhere.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.